We already have history on our side, so we know the advent of Christ took place. Now we stay in this constant state of advent because we're looking for his return. He promised to come back. I believe he's coming back. And the scripture says, I think the kingdom of God is near. So tonight, have you ever wondered why we do candlelight service at night as we gather for this? It's because the entire Christmas story began in darkness. There was a darkness of oppression when Christ was born. For God's people were a conquered people at that time. They were a beaten and defeated people. And there was darkness of persecution. Indeed, it was a despised universal taxation that took place that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, that brought this story together on a fateful night. There was the darkness of disillusionment. There was an ever-increasing number who felt that violence, not faith, was the most effective path. Oh yeah, on that first Christmas, the mood was one of despair and resignation. And thus, as it was, and thus as it is now, we too live in a world of darkness. There's wars and rumors of war. There's hunger and unemployment, racism, loneliness, sense of emptiness. Perhaps the poet Robert Foster worded it best when he wrote, I have been acquainted with the night, and I have walked in the rain and out of the rain, and I have been acquainted with the night. I don't think I have to tell any of us here about the darkness, because in one form or another, we have experienced darkness in our lives. You may have been acquainted with the night, but we don't come here tonight naively denying the existence of darkness. If you ever want to experience true darkness, go out to Mariana and go down into that cave that they have out there. And when the tour guide takes you down in that cave where the stalactites and the stalagmites are, they turn off the light. And you are in total darkness, like you have never experienced in your life. But when you flick that switch back on, just one tiny little light comes on, and it fills that whole room with light. It's amazing. You have been acquainted with the night, I'm sure. Thus, we do not come here tonight for any other reason but to experience the light that came into the world, which is Christ. Nowhere in Scripture do we receive a pep talk and argument that things aren't really as bad as they seem. Rather, it affirms that the darkness is real and is present with our area and our hearts and our lives. But it doesn't have to be that way. It affirms that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The prophet Isaiah wrote this, people who walk in the darkness have seen a great light. John Fowler records, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Yet, in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light, as that song said. I love that song. Hymns are very special. And history records an interesting footnote. You might remember, you may not remember, because maybe you weren't alive in 1864. But you know, in 1914, First World War, the Germans and the British were fighting, and they stopped the war on Christmas Eve. Interesting. But in 1864, at Petersburg, Virginia, Randy, you're not Randy, you're Stan. He's a Civil War expert in different things on history, and I love history too. But at Petersburg, Virginia, the Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee was facing the Union divisions of Ulysses S. Grant. The war had now been 3.5 years old, and the glorious charge had long since been given away to the muck in the mire of the trenches of warfare. Major General George Pickett received word that his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. Up and down the southern line, they started building huge bonfires in celebration of the event. These fires did not go unnoticed in the northern side. And a nervous General Grant sent out a reconnaissance patrol to see what was going on with all these fires. Well, when they came back to report to General Grant with the message that Pickett had a son, and these were celebration fires. It's interesting. It so happened that Grant and Pickett had been contemporaries at West Point. It's interesting that us Americans, before we decided to have a civil war, we were all one. These two generals went to West Point. They knew each other. They were friends. What was particular cool about that night, no pun intended, for miles on both sides of the lines, fire and burn, no shots were fired, no yelling back and forth, no war, only celebrating the life and the birth of a child. But it didn't last. Soon the fire burned down, and once again, the darkness took over, the darkness of the night and the darkness of the war. The good news of Christmas is that in the midst of deep darkness, there came a light. And the darkness was not able to overcome that light. It was not just a temporary flicker. It was an eternal flame that we need to remember. There are times and there's events of the world in our own personal lives and in the events of all the areas around us and communities that light sometimes gets stuffed out. But the Christmas story affirms that whatever happens, the light still shines. The ancient Hebrews were afraid of the darkness. They were particularly afraid of a place they called outer darkness. To them, creation began and God said, "Let there be light." To them, where there was only darkness, there was only a void and an emptiness. What great meaning and hope that it must have been for them when they heard Jesus refer to himself as the light of the world. We need to hear these words this Christmas and always. As families all across the Middle East right now are suffering, we need to hear these words as the families of these war-torn areas of Israel and Palestine. They're overwhelmed with grief. They need to hear these words, and we need to hear these words as families are suffering this season. Even the city of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, is not celebrating Christmas this year because of the situation. So sad. Judy and I were blessed to visit that church of the Nativity. And even though now most of the Bethlehem is Muslims, they still celebrate Christmas, but not this year. It's a sad thing, but the light is still there. Because of the season, the darkness is real. Because of Christmas, it'll never get so dark that you can't see the light. So into the darkness, God sends eternal light. As you walk outside this evening, when we light the candles, go out and form a circle, and sing Silent Night. It's a beautiful thing. It is the light that intrudes upon the darkness. Light is always stronger than darkness, and the forces of light are always stronger than the forces of darkness. The greatest need in our mixed up and confused world today is to let people know there's hope. Can you imagine going through life with no hope? There's a lot of people that are. And they need to hear the good news. They need to know that the light of Christ is available to them. Not only in the physical world, but more importantly in the spiritual world. Jesus Christ, we are going to need to cling to that hope that life overcomes death. The love conquers hate, and truth will prevail over falsehoods. And we are the people of the light. We are Christ's followers, and we also are followers of Christ, the one who brought the light into the world. And we got to share that light in a dark and dreary land. Every moment of our life, we need to share with somebody the hope that Christ has given to us. So why do you think God chose to use the stars we just sang about to guide the wise men to Bethlehem? I'm pretty convinced that it was not an accident, as I study. It was an eternal reminder to them and to us that in the sea of darkness, it is the light that keeps us going forward. It's the light of hope, the light of Christ that leads in a way that dispels gloom and darkness, despair. So it's my prayer and all of us' prayer, I hope, that you can come into prayer of agreement with, that the light of Christmas will shine and enlighten the dark corners of your life, my life, and everybody that we meet, family, friends. I don't know about you, but I have families that have some dark things in their life. I have some things in my own personal life that sometimes get to be dark. And what I do is I say, Lord, come into my life and light up those dark corners. I need to be able to see what I need to change and need what I need to do. So we all need to discover that pathway for that man. As we did tonight, or going through tonight, some 2,000 years after Christ was born, we still celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because that's the real reason for Christmas. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters celebrate what they call Mass. We, as Protestants, just call it a worship service. So where do you get the word Christmas? Christ Mass. Christ worship. The world's trying to change that with all different kinds of names, changing names, acronyms, or whatever. You cannot change the word Christmas because it is the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So we're glad that you're here tonight, coming to help us celebrate, and we thank God for that. And it truly is a holy night.